Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll, where the only real concern we have is how hard we're going to laugh or groan at the patented Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Hey, Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling you. Hope everybody's doing good. You know, I play rock and roll music just like you. I went to the doctor. I have some hearing problems. The doctor said, can you describe the symptoms? I said, well, yeah, Homer's a kind of a heavy guy, and Marge's got blue hair. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
I definitely have heard worse. That actually is pretty funny. It makes me laugh. Great pop culture reference with Duff's slightly confused delivery. Amazing stuff. Thanks to Duff McKagan for sending me a joke every single Friday for the last 3.5 years. And thanks to all of you who tuned in live for the Winnipeggers Idiot Olympics Part 2 last night. And if you couldn't join us live, of course, you can see the ridiculousness on my Facebook page and YouTube channel. We had surprise guest Jamie Farr from MASH was there, the unknown comic, and Joe Aiello from Winnipeg. What ridiculous contest. How many grapes can we stuff in our mouths at once? A high-talking contest. Make up your own language. It was absolutely ridiculous, and we had a blast. Check out it if you want to laugh, because it is worth 1,000 laughs. But right now, nothing funny about today's guest. He's very serious. Talking about my tag team partner, MJF, making his return to Talk as Jericho. And we are ready for AEW Revolution this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view or streaming live on the BR Live app. I hope the Young Bucks are prepared to lose the World Tag Team Championships, because that's what's going to happen when they go up against MJF and I on Sunday. It's going to be his first AEW title and my first in over a year. He's got the AEW Diamond Ring. Not quite the same thing. This is much more prestigious. We're going to share our strategies with you guys. We're also going to recap the phenomenal 2020 that MJF had, from the Dinner Debonair. He won a New York Times Award for that one. To the state of the industry promo he cut on Jon Moxley. To his recent Wrestling Observer Award win for Most Charismatic, the award that I won last year. We got some slots on He Who Shan't Be Named, the guy who quit the Inner Circle. MJF has a lot more to say about Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Griff Garrison, Ricky Starks, Darby Allin, Gum Guy, Shoddy Lee, Lee Johnson, Sting. Get ready. The soon-to-be newly crowned AEW World Tag Team Champions, Chris Jericho and MJF, starting now on Talk is Jericho. And we are burying everybody, baby. All right, so Wednesday here, Dynamite. What they call in the biz the go-home show, for everybody listening that doesn't quite know. And the go-home show for the big pay-per-view Revolution, which, of course, is many, many big matches. Probably the biggest of all is MJF and Jericho versus the Young Bucks. And, of course, MJF is here. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest matches that you could ever put together for AEW.
I mean, it is four guys who are quite possibly the biggest names in the industry today. You know, a lot of people like to talk smack, Chris, and they say that we're not a real tag team. And you know what? Right? We're not. We're just two of the biggest, baddest SOBs in professional wrestling today. We are superstars. We are charisma machines. So yeah, we got to cut the line. We got to skip and go over all these guys who have been tagging with each other for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Because we're that damn good. And I think that is precisely why this matchup, it's going to be a breeze, Chris. I don't see this being an issue whatsoever.
Well, it's interesting, too, that for the kind of the diehard hardcores who say that we're not a quote-unquote real team. I don't even know what that means. Just because we haven't been riding the roads together and grew up together like the Bucks did, where Papa Buck, you got it. Jeez, yeah, we'll get But he builds a ring in their backyard, and they've traveled the world together. And hey, listen, all respect to the Bucks. They made it completely outside the system. But I have never been a tag team champion. Let me rephrase this. I've never been in a quote-unquote real team where I was a world tag team champion. But I've been world tag team champion, I think, six times. Oh, yeah. About to be seven.
How about you just list off some of these partners?
The Rock.
Oh, wow. Interesting name.
Yeah.
I think I know that guy.
Big Show.
I think I know that guy, too. Yeah.
Edge.
Huh. All right.
There's one. Christian. I mean, there's a few others in there. But we were not put together as like, you know, hey, it's the Wally Whackers or whatever. It's, yeah. it's The Rock and Chris Jericho. It's MJF and Chris Jericho. So, to me, a real tag team is one that wins and one that draws a whole lot of winning. We're undefeated, as a matter of fact. I mean, you're undefeated, which we'll even talk about as well, in your entire time here in AEW. And I just think that it's going to be a real kind of a downer for the Young Bucks, who have beaten the Jurassic Express and they've beaten the Acclaimed and they've beaten, you know, all of these teams that we have here, the Top Flight, because this is a tag team company. But yet here we are, two of the biggest singles stars uniting to become tag team champions. That must be a little bit of a monkey wrench into their system.
It's a bitter pill to swallow for these guys. I mean, they love to talk on and on and on about how they're tag team specialists. And here we are, we're already number one contenders. And Chris, I think we've only been tagging for a month and a half.
I mean, technically, yeah. I mean, since we won the battle of the inner circle to decide who the tag team would be to move on for the championships, we have been undefeated.
Yeah. And you know what? I love Proud and Powerful. I love those guys like brothers.
Yes.
But we won Fair and Square. And also, they had their opportunity.
They did. Listen, and once again, a lot of people said, well, what if Pride and Powerful wins? Proud and Powerful wins. Well, listen, we want the tag team championships in the inner circle.
But of course.
By hook or by crook. And if Proud and Powerful had it, and we face them at Revolution, well, guess what? Everybody wins.
Everybody wins because the titles would stay in the inner
circle. Exactly, and that's the most important thing as we continue to talk about. So I just think that it's a blessing for AEW to have us as a team.
Well, it's a blessing for AEW to have us, period.
Right.
Allow me to, you know, clarify.
Thank you.
I knew that.
Well, sure, of course. You know, I want to go through a little bit of a list here just to talk. Let me talk about you for a second before we get into more about our tag team stuff. Nah, I know you don't want that. So here's something that you posted on Twitter the other day, and we can analyze every one of these things.
Sure.
You've only been on TV for a year,
yes,
which
sir.
Is basically true, because before that, you were just on low-level indies.
Independent.
Not low-level, but not national TV.
Not national television.
Right. So you've been on national TV for just over a year, and here's what's happened so far. Undefeated.
Yes, sir. Undefeated. I've beaten everyone I've come across. I have yet to be pinned or submitted in a professional wrestling ring. And if anybody wants to bring up Jon Moxley, allow me to clarify something. The man used an illegal maneuver in that matchup.
Yep, completely.
That's not a win, okay? That's not a win. The guy's a crook. Dictator John is a dirty, stinking crook. But we can continue on with that list. I'm sorry tirade there, Chris. I just get really riled up.
I don't even really remember the Moxley, because if you remember, you know, who lost the AEW championship to Moxley? I did.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I remember too.
But he cheated against
he
you
did.
Too. We all saw it.
He did.
The fans know.
He pretended to be blind.
Yeah.
Wearing that patch over his eye, and then takes it off, sucked me in and takes it off. And so that's a win.
Can I just say, classless move on his part.
Completely.
If you're going to have an eye injury, you know, don't lie about it. Don't
own it.
He's a liar. That's what he was. He was a liar.
That's right.
The man claimed blindness. That's the equivalent to me parking in a handicapped spot, which I would never do, by the way.
Of course.
I'm salt of the earth. That's what he did.
And that's my point. So we have the same grievance,
of course,
with Moxley. And I'll tell you what. When Kenny Omega beat Moxley for the world title, you know what I did?
Yeah,
I cheered.
You know what?
I cheered for him.
Can I tell you something, Chris? So
what?
Did I. I really did. I had my popcorn in hand, and I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah,
that was the first time Kenny Omega made me smile. Probably will be the last time.
Yeah,
but hey, it was the first time.
It's that's one more than most of the schleps around here.
Don't get me
and
started.
I'll tell you something else. This weekend, another huge match, of course, is the Exploding Barbed Wire Death Match. You know, I hope Moxie explodes.
Oh my God!
And you know what? I hope Kenny explodes, and then we can have a tournament for the world title.
Why
too.
Why not? Why can't we have the tag titles and the world title, Chris?
We can. We absolutely can.
The world is ours, Chris.
That's exactly what we can do. State of the Industry was one of the best promos in the history of the business. Now, refresh my memory what the State of the Industry was.
So, State of the Industry was the first promo I had cut on Jonathan, Dictator John, and it was pretty much when I announced that I was going to be running for the AEW World Tag Team title.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
So what did you say?
So essentially I was just talking about things that I felt were wrong about our product, and it was quite honestly all John's fault. I mean, what John does is he goes out there and he performs reckless stunts with reckless abandonment, and then because he's the world champion, people my age, they follow suit. They go, well, if that's a world champion, that's what I have to do to win. And they go, these guys are going out there and they're killing each other every single night, Chris. It's awful.
Right.
It's got awful. And I'll never forget.
Cutting each other and thumbtacks and body bags.
Think about the match.
Baseball bats and all that sort of stuff.
But what was it? Exploding barbed wire death match. Now, do you think if Kenny Omega was wrestling anybody else on our roster that match would be happening?
No.
No shot. That is the issue. That is the problem with Dictator John. John creates chaos, and I don't want that in pro wrestling because pro wrestling is supposed to be a sport. Mm-hmm. It's pro wrestling.
It's a physical contest between two gentlemen, such as ourselves, to show who the better man is.
Yes. I
was going to say, for example, when last pay-per-view, Full Gear, yep. or All Out, or whatever the one it was in September.
Yes, sir.
We had a match that the winner, if you won, mm-hmm. you would get to join the inner circle. You won.
I won fair and square.
Fair and square.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're in the inner circle.
Absolutely.
That is what a true gentleman does.
Chris, allow me to say this. I've never been happier. And that's the thing about me and you. We never cheat. We never use weaponry.
Never have to.
We don't have to because we're talented, mm-hmm. okay? And I think that's the difference between me and you and everybody else in this locker room. And that is my issue with John. The man's constantly cheating. He's constantly using weapons. He's constantly dumping people on the top of their heads. That's not what this sport's all about. And that's what I talked about.
And that was a great promo. And you know what? You had a hell of a cabinet, too, set up.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you look at the cabinet, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here. Big Shoddy Lee Johnson.
Lee Johnson, absolutely. I gave him a huge opportunity. I think he kind of shit the bed, but it is what it is.
But now he's in the Nightmare family.
And that's why he shit the bed. Well, but that's fine.
The reason why he was even given the opportunity to shit the bed is because you gave him one.
Oh, God. I gave that kid the world on a silver platter.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for me, nobody would know who Shoddy is.
That's right.
Another person, Gum Guy, okay? I gave Gum Guy the biggest opportunity of his life.
Now, who's Gum Guy?
You know who Gum Guy is. I mean, come on.
I don't.
Okay.
He's a guy, does he chew gum?
Now, I don't know if this is a trade secret or not, but you know Hook?
Oh, Hook.
Okay. Yeah.
Gum Guy is his original name?
Oh, yeah.
Was he always chewing gum?
Here's the deal. Hook actually has a twin brother. And his twin brother was Gum Guy.
Ah.
And the unfortunate thing was Gum Guy did an awful, 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 awfully great job. I mean, he was always on point. Whenever I opened my mouth, gum went in. Whenever I opened my mouth again, gum went out.
Great. I remember that.
And unfortunately, the kid just couldn't hack it in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the other son of Taz, he was able to figure it out. He's doing okay for himself now.
Okay. So I did hear about Gum Guy. He now works as one of the up-and-comers for Trident.
Get out of town.
Yeah, it's true.
Really?
I heard about that.
You know what?
Day,
well, so. That makes sense.
Taz should be proud. He's got two sons.
Two sons. Both of them are on top of the world.
Right.
In the gum world and in the professional wrestling world.
Well, yeah. Well, Hook, I wouldn't say he's actually on top of the wrestling world, but...
I mean, we are, Chris.
He's appearing on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but
he's here.
So you gave Gum Guy an opportunity, gave him the confidence that he needed to go on to become a huge executive, junior executive. He's still young.
Yeah. I gave him the gum rub.
You did. I have to say a quick thank you to Pretty Litter because it's been so peaceful at my house lately. Nobody's fighting over cleaning the litter boxes and nobody's complaining about how bad it smells where we keep the litter boxes. Pretty Litter's altered absorbent crystals trap odor instantly and the crystals last up to a month, so less scooping out of the box. And best part, Pretty Litter changes colors to help monitor early signs of potential illness in our cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues. It ships right to our door, so no last-minute trips to the store. When we realize we're all out of cat litter, it's a win-win for my family, and it's a win-win for Mr. Mittens, Indy, and Snickers, my three cats. You and your cat or cats are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do. It helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keeps odors down. Go to prettylitter.com/Jericho and use the code Jericho to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/Jericho. Code Jericho to save 20%. prettylitter.com/Jericho. Code Jericho. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Here's one that some people might think might be a little bit of a sore spot for me, but it's the opposite. New York Times, best performance of 2020 for Dinner Debonair.
I mean, how can that be a sore spot?
Well, I mean, you would think you actually got the award, and a lot of people, you know, the trolls.
Sure.
Always the trolls.
Yeah.
Saying that maybe I should have gotten an award for that, too, because I was actually in it
Chris,
as well.
Let me say something. It was a travesty that we both didn't receive the award. Yeah. I genuinely feel that way. Because, Chris, when I tell you, you have to be one of the greatest singers I've ever heard. Probably since Sinatra. And I mean that. I mean that wholeheartedly.
I can accept that.
And I mean, God, what are you guys, like quadruple million platinum right now with your records?
Well, I mean, almost gold for Judas.
My
That's
God.
A true story.
Actually, my God, that's an actual real thing.
75 folks. Million Spotify listens is gold, and we're almost there. So we're going to have a gold record, yeah. Which in this day and age might as well be 47 times quintuple platinum. Let me tell you that.
Absolutely. And let me tell you guys, I mean, a lot of people thought Chris was jealous, but I mean, Chris, I mean, here it is. The floor is all yours. You weren't jealous when I won that award.
I wasn't jealous at all. I mean, it's one of those things where to see your name in the New York Times, I mean, oh yeah. But just making the Dinner Debonair, I mean, once again, we can kind of talk about this since we're on the subject. One of the most groundbreaking, revolutionary segments in pro wrestling history. And I defy anybody to tell me different. And there's a lot of people who didn't agree with it. But if you really think about it, that was one of the most unique and memorable moments in the history of this business.
Now, people like to throw the word polarizing around a lot. Mm. Easy for them to say. And I think that polarizing is the perfect word for it. But irregardless, even though it was polarizing, it was the most talked about thing in professional wrestling, quite frankly, in decades.
Absolutely.
And the fact that a professional wrestler was in the New York Times, something that has never happened before. That's a
New York Times awards.
Yeah. Awards.
It's entertainment. This is legit, by the way, guys. Actual in the New York Times newspaper as some of the best moments in entertainment 2020. Yeah. Dinner Debonair won.
Yeah.
And featuring
then,
MJF.
And then under me was that super hot chick from that Netflix chess show. So, I mean, if you don't think it's legit, the hot chick from the chess show on Netflix was on there.
I mean, nothing says legit than the hot chick from a chess show.
On Netflix?
Yeah, exactly.
My God.
I mean, come on. This is Netflix.
Guys.
I think there was somebody on there from HBO Plus.
Wow. Okay.
I think someone from Adult Swim got on there. And then, of course, Dinner Debonair.
Yeah. The most important part, obviously.
So, this was just an unbelievable moment. And for me, I came up in wrestling, which is funny because so did you, even though I think you go back and watch these things, actually watch them as they happen, Saturday Night's Main Event.
Yes, sir.
And one of the first things I can remember about the WWF was Corporal Kirchner. They were at a water park, and he took a zip line down over the pool and drops into the pool and then splashes Miss Elizabeth, which causes Randy Savage to get mad, so they have a match later on that night.
Yep.
I mean, that's what the wrestling that I came up on.
Sure.
So Dinner Debonair fits that
it
mold.
It fit that mold, man. And here's the thing. It'd be one thing if we broke out in a song and dance when the bell had rung. But that wasn't the case, man.
We met for dinner.
We met for dinner and some music started playing and we just couldn't help ourselves, man. And that's just the facts. And also, I couldn't help myself with those two dancers. You know what I mean?
Great dancers.
My God.
Great, you know, very much stayed in step with us.
Oh,
our singing and dancing that night was very good. The steak was terrible.
You know, I think, and again, I hate to bring this up, but sometimes, Chris, I feel like we can't help but try to one-up each other, right? And that was one of those unfortunate moments. We've gotten better about it. But that was one of those unfortunate moments where... Yeah, the steak was definitely a little too rare.
Yeah, we wanted it well done.
Yeah.
And then we just kept on doing each other until it was like marble blue rare, and that's what they ended up
getting. And that's also why in Vegas, I don't remember what happened that night, which was another one of those let's try to one-up each other case scenarios.
Did you ever notice that you had writing on your face that night?
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Okay.
And when we went out to the bar and we're drinking, the cooking sherry and the Everclear.
Yep.
Everclear was a little bit controversial because of the...
The Vandergriff incident.
My
God, well, who can forget about the Vandergriff incident?
I mean, now, what people don't know is the Vandergriff incident is when Charles Vandergriff...
Whoa. Before you tell the story, Chris, are you sure this is appropriate for people to hear? About the Vandegrift incident?
What?
I mean, it's your podcast.
Well, I mean, we don't have any secrets here on Talk to Jericho.
My God. I mean, guys, this is a huge exclusive.
I mean, Charles Vandegrift was one of the inventors of Las Vegas.
Yep.
Actually, his middle name was Charles Loss Vandegrift, and his partner, Joseph Vegas. And they...
Well, who could forget about Joe?
I mean, Joey Vegas, right?
Come on.
They were prospectors looking for gold, and they... you know, they founded a small town, did some gambling, and suddenly people started coming and join them. What happened was Charles Loss,
yep,
Vandegrift made some moonshine,
yeah,
Everclear actually,
big time,
Everclear, which is way stronger than moonshine, and basically drank it and just went crazy, and he jumped off a tree and fell into some.
I mean,
sand.
And we're talking about Vegas trees, and I don't know if you guys have ever been to Las Vegas, but those trees are really, really, really big.
Oh yeah.
And he landed on several people, and ever since then, that has been known as, of course,
as the Vandegrift. And some of those people were injured.
Chris, one of them died.
I never heard that.
Maybe that's a rumor.
Maybe that's a rumor. It was a couple years later. But one
sure,
of, yeah.
sure.
Well, injuries okay. sustained.
Injuries sustained, of course. Of
led
course.
Them to eventually yeah. dying.
Very
so
unfortunate.
That's why Everclear is basically banned in Vegas
yeah.
because of the Vandegrift incident. When we went there, we said, damn it, we give us some yeah. Everclear.
We have deep pockets, so they
we
figured did, it out.
Yeah. We bought out that whole hotel.
Of course.
My goodness. What a great night that was. Good times. With the Inner Circle, with the guy that we shan't mention. We're not going to say his name.
No.
But still, good times. And now you guys know the whole story behind the Vandegrift incident.
You're welcome.
We've matured. We're not trying to outdo each other all the time
no.
now. Let's continue on with your list here. I've beaten Cody Rhodes, Chris Jericho, granted, guilty yeah. as charged. And,
love you, man.
I'm about to beat the Bucks.
Of course.
Those are three huge names right there.
Yeah. Three of the guys. I mean, you got two EVPs there. And you got the greatest of all time.
Which trumps two EVPs. I would take a greatest of all time over two EVPs in any card game.
But of course. But right. of course. And I think, you know, I think the EVP thing's getting out of hand over here. Because realistically, let's talk numbers, people. We're talking about the ratings ruler right now in the Demo God. Okay? And the fact of the matter is, every time me and Christopher are on screen, we're groundbreaking. I mean, we are literally killing it minute
by
minute.
You sent me a tweet the other day about our last segment that was through the roof.
It was absolutely through the roof. And also, consequently, not only were we the biggest segment out of both shows on Wednesday night, we also had the most women viewers, which doesn't shock me at all because let's face it, we are two sexy hooligans, baby.
I mean, come on. I mean, like you said, but I like seeing those numbers because it's the proof.
Of course.
The demo got in the range. I'll tell you some of those too. Full disclosure. When you first said ratings ruler, I didn't really like it.
I get it.
But it's grown on me.
Oh, really?
It really has.
Huh.
Yeah.
Should I bring it back?
I don't think it ever left.
Okay. That's fair.
Right?
I like that. Okay.
So, yeah. So like we said, this weekend versus the Bucks, you know, I've never had an actual match against the Bucks before. Because, I mean, Stadium Stampede was, you know, a kind of a whole rigmarole behind that. I think I've had a couple six-mens. But I've never had a tag team match per se versus the Young Bucks.
Mm.
So I'm excited about that because, once again, with MJF and Jericho, our style is different from theirs.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways.
And I think that's what people should be looking forward to in the sense that I feel like no one's done a good job of grounding Matthew and Nicholas.
Yes.
And I personally feel that that is something we are perfectly equipped to do. I think they are going to try to flip. They are going to try to flop. They are going to try to fly. They're going to try to hit all of their stupid, stupid, stupid moves. And all we're going to do is we're going to move out of the way. We're going to grab a body part. We're going to drag them down to the mat, and we're going to keep them there until they're losing oxygen and they're fighting for air, and we win the match. And it's going to be scientific, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, those moves could be construed as stupid, but they're also very dynamic, and people love them. But one thing, a former friend of mine who turned on me, and I'm still waiting for him to show his ugly face back here again, is in Iron Mike Tyson. He said, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face.
My God, yeah.
I find that with Matt and Nick, they're very scientifically athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Scientific wrestlers, when I grew up, meant that they know all the moves, very technical,
yeah.
Great high flyers. Maybe the two best high flyers in the company.
I will give them that.
For sure.
I'll give them that.
But
yeah.
I don't think Matt and Nick have been punched in the face. Really punched in the face. Because I'll tell you what, right now, they try that, Meltzer driver, whatever it is, flip right into my fist.
Yeah.
My fist, your face, Nick Buck.
Guess Boom. What? Five-star fist punch.
That's five-star fist
punch. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. Take that to your Tag Team of the Year award. Maybe we'll take that and shove it down your throats as well. So I think it's going to be the type of match that Matt and Nick have never had before, and that's why I have full belief that we're going to walk out as the AEW Tag Team Champions.
Absolutely. Glass jaws. They got glass jaws.
Glass jaws, yeah. Glass bodies maybe too.
Here's why you should be getting Factor meals. They're always delivered fresh, never frozen. They're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and delicious. They're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And if you go to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use my promo code TIJ50, you'll get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box. Plus, how good does this sound? Parmesan and sun-dried tomato chicken penne with roasted green beans. That's what I had last week before heading out to AEW. Factor makes eating delicious, quick, and easy, which is exactly what I need, especially on travel days. I ate it right out of the Factor packaging as well, so no cleanup afterwards. So you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need, and you can pause and reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. And Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. So head to factormeals.com/TIJ50 and use code TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code TIJ50 at factormeals.com/TIJ50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. All right, MJF, you were talking about main eventing a pay-per-view. That's huge. Let's hear about it.
Yes, sir. It was me versus Dictator John for the AEW World title, where he totally cheated, but, you know.
What was that, in the summer?
Yes, I believe it was.
Was that when I had the Mimosa Mayhem?
It was. It was the same also, night as Mimosa Mayhem. Also, cheated out of that match. Yeah. You know, I'm starting to realize something here, Chris. It seems the only way people can take us down in this company is by using these dirty, underhanded tactics.
Cheatings.
And that's something we would never do.
The problems you had with Dictator John are the same problems I had with that dipshit Orange Cassidy.
My God.
I mean, this guy. I mean, he still owes me. Do you know this? He still owes me $7,000.
What?
For my jacket, my white jacket. Remember, he poured orange juice all over me.
Well, you know what?
And the Inner Circle.
It's funny you mention that. I'm livid about this Papa Buck situation. Everybody, and you know what? I've already talked about it. I've already talked about it, but I can't help to bring it up again. Everybody's, oh, boo-hoo, Papa Buck got hurt. Oh, my God. Nobody's talking about my custom-made suit that he got his stupid blood all over.
Brutal.
I don't shop at Baby Gap like all you poors do listening to this, okay?
All you poors.
That was a custom suit. All you disgusting, uncivilized humanoid lifers have no idea. You know what? Let me put it in perspective for you. That suit cost about, I don't know, a year and a half's worth of rent money for you, okay? Does that help? Does that help make you understand?
Yeah.
Sickening. But we're the bad guys, right, Chris?
Oh,
we're
sure. The bad guys. Now, here's another thing, too. And I don't even want to talk about my green silk shirt that got some of his blood and some of his grimy sweat for the greasy hair of his.
By the way, that green suit?
Yeah. Shirt.
Pardon?
The green shirt.
Pardon me. I spoke out of turn there.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thanks, man.
Totally beautiful.
You know, but it has some of that grease, like the
it'll never be the same.
Bret Hart grease ball back in the day.
Yeah.
Papa Buck, I grabbed his hair.
Yeah.
My hand still feels like I got Vaseline on it.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know if that's a real person. So I was actually just, I went to Madame Clouseau's with my...
Who did you go to?
Madame Clouseau's. It's a wax museum.
Oh, no, it's the one down the street. Madame Tussauds is the big one. You went to Madame Clouseau's,
which is
a little bit lesser known.
It's they're an up and comer. Here's the thing about Madame Clouseau's.
She's great.
It's an up and coming wax museum.
She's still alive, too, by the way.
She's still alive.
She's gonna take over.
I think she's going to trump. It's kind of like AEW. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But anyway.
That's right.
So I go to Madame Clouseau's, which is most certainly a real place. And, you know, all these wax figurines, when I was looking at Papa Buck, I couldn't help but think he looked exactly like them.
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a very strange looking man.
Ugly. I think the word you're looking for is ugly.
Which is weird because one thing I'll say about Matt Nick is they're not ugly. So they must look not ugly.
Maybe you're nicer than me, Chris. Would you say they're attractive?
Well, I wouldn't put them on the cover of Teen Beat magazine.
You know who I would put on the cover of Teen Beat magazine?
Us. Absolutely. But yeah, I think you're right about Papa Buck. Maybe not a real person. Very greasy, very bloody. So to me, going back to what we said, we're the bad guys on this. How did this whole thing start? Do you remember?
Please enlighten
me. I do.
Because I would like to hear it.
I'll tell you exactly what
happened.
Please do. Matt and Nick, once again, barely squeak by Santana Ortiz.
Yeah.
Big brouhaha breaks out. We go to the floor as innocent men trying to leave. And this freaking wax figure from Madame Clouseau's with his greaseball hair and his stupid nose. He pushed me. Papa Buck pushed me.
So,
and if you look at it closely, Mama Buck is smiling in the background. Horrible. She liked it.
Here's the thing, Chris. Where I come from, Plainview, Long Island, New York, the greatest place in the world. Obviously, besides, you know,
hey, Winnipeg, I'm from Canada. Long Island too, man.
I know.
Manhattan to represent. I know. So
here's the deal.
Where sister cities from, too, by the way.
Well, absolutely.
I don't know if you knew that, yeah.
Where I come from, that was assault. And he did it on national TV. The man should be incarcerated.
Absolutely.
He should be incarcerated. He should be in jail right now.
I am a big celebrity. You can't put your hands on us. If I was walking down the street and some slovenly hobo like Papa Buck came and pushed me, cops would arrest him and take him downtown to Chinatown within minutes.
And that's the issue with this place. Once again, I think it's because he is the father of an EVP. I bet you.
Two EVPs.
You think if that was Lee Johnson's dad, he wouldn't have gone to jail? You think if that was Brandon Cutler's dad, he wouldn't have gone to jail? I'm telling you right now. I bet if it was your dad.
Well, here's the difference. My dad and your dad would never do that.
No.
Because they have class.
They have class and respect, and that's why we are two very classy and respectful individuals. That's
right. We have been raised properly.
Absolutely.
Unlike those hippies, the Bucks and their freaky, weird-looking dad. So
grotesque.
It all started with that double-handed push. And listen, we don't forget.
Are you okay, by the way?
I'm fine.
Are you okay?
I felt a little bit. Actually, you know what? I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Papa Buck was on the first Jericho cruise. I invited him on. I felt a little bit betrayed when he pushed me. I felt a little bit hurt. My feelings were a little bit hurt.
See, I didn't know that part of the story. Yeah. That honestly brings a tear to my eye, Chris.
Yeah, I can tell. Let me get you a tissue. And okay.
I'm okay.
So to me, it was like, if this is the way we're going to do things here, we're not stupid. We're elephants, man.
Of course.
You know, I and yourself, as we heard earlier tonight on the advice and idea of Santana Ortiz, said, you know what? You're going to put your hands on me? You put your hands in the circle? We waited. And those cocky little bastards, the Young Bucks, walking around here like cocks of the walk,
horrible,
giving out advice to people, handing out fake dollar bills to all the young guys and girls in the back, weren't paying any attention to Papa Buck, right? Mm. And we found him.
Yep.
And my favorite part is some, you know, supposed fan of MJF and Jericho on Twitter went, there's no proof that they're the ones that caused Papa Buck to bleed. And I was like, no, it was us.
I watched it go down.
Chris hit him
the shit out of
with
him.
The craziest right hook I've ever seen. It was nuts.
Dude, you know?
I was laughing so
And I
hard.
Laughed even harder.
Yeah.
Because we were right back near the catering area.
Yeah.
When you teed up on him, then there's what I love.
Yeah.
Grabbed a plastic glove that the catering guys had, put it on.
Yeah.
And then hit him. You didn't even want that blood on your hands.
I don't want any of that backyard blood on my hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. I mean, come on.
You know, you don't want to smell like sawdust or whatever.
Anybody related to Matt and Nick, they're not touching me.
Exactly. So all of that was completely the fault of Papa Buck. All of that was completely the fault of Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. Yeah. And once again, they can be looking for vengeance, screaming for vengeance, but we're screaming for titles.
That's all. That's all. Guys.
That's it.
Everyone listening to this, I want to make something perfectly clear. The only thing me and Chris care about going into this pay-per-view is winning the AEW World Tag Team Championships. That's it. That is the one goal we have in mind.
Now, you're a two-time winner. Well, I've never lost it, but you've had the Diamond Ring, AEW Diamond Ring.
Back-to-back,
over a year. Yeah. But this will officially be your first title in AEW?
Yes, it would be my first title in AEW. It would be my first piece of hardwire outside of the ring. And I got to tell you, Chris, growing up, I watched you, as many other people did in my generation, and you were, growing up, my favorite professional wrestler. And I recall reading your book as a kid, and you would talk about how your dream was to win the tag team titles with Owen Hart. And my dream was always to win the tag team titles with you.
Wow.
And the way that things have come full circle here is, I might cry again, but it's fine. The way that things have come full circle here is absolutely tremendous. To a nicer guy, it couldn't have happened. And of course, I'm speaking about you and me. And I feel we deserve this. I mean, gosh, Chris, you have been doing this for 30 plus years. And you have been on top of the professional wrestling world for all of that time. Me, while I have not been doing this anywhere near as long as you have, I'd like to think it's become very clear and obvious who the next guy is. Who's going to be taking the spot that you will leave, not anytime soon, Chris. But that you will leave
that spot's mine for the taking, and everybody knows that. Everybody knows that the next GOAT in professional wrestling is going to be MJF.
Well, once again, too, I mean, you haven't been wrestling as long, a fraction of the experience that I have, but still, I mean, you've been on top the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's what upsets people, both in the locker room and people watching on TV. This guy's 24. This is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, and I'm a prodigy. Yeah, and I'm one of the best in the ring. Yeah, and I'm one of the best on the microphone. I'm untouchable. And that upsets people. It upsets people because there are 40 to 50-year-olds watching our show, tuning in. Hell, 18-year-olds. People are either upset because they are younger than me and they're not even close to obtaining their goals, or because they're older than me and they're not even close to obtaining their goals. That is what upsets me. I'm the bad guy simply because everybody else is jealous, Chris.
Well, that's exactly the truth. You always have your biggest enemies and your biggest detractors when you're successful.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to throw the top guy off the mountain.
Yep.
That's the way it's always been.
And I think that's why everybody like Matt and Nick, because at the end of the day, they're underdogs. They right. are. Even though they're tag champions, in this matchup, they're underdogs.
Well, they are. Yeah, absolutely. And that's another reason for saying, not an official tag team, whatever. I'll give them their due. They have beat every tag team here
sure.
in AEW. All of them. Even Hangman and Kenny Omega.
Yep.
They have not beaten us.
And they won't.
In a singles match, you're unbeaten here. I've only been beaten a few times. I can count them. One of them was you.
Yeah.
You know, two Orange Cassidys.
Cheated.
An MJF.
Yep. Did not cheat.
And a Scorpio Sky.
Cheated.
What did you say after I said your name?
I said did not cheat.
Correct. The other correct. Cheated. Yeah, correct. Oh, there might have been something, but it's a water.
I don't think so. I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. Point being, if I can remember every single loss that I've had, first of all, how good am I?
My God.
I mean, you're undefeated, but I probably had more matches than you.
Well, sure. But of course.
And bigger ones as well. But the point being is that how good must I be
Chris.
To never have been beaten by...
bigger ones.
Main events.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. Because I was in main events too.
No. One main event.
Yeah.
Well, no. Several main events. You're just talking about one main event that I did on the pay-per-view, Chris.
Well, yeah, but every other pay-per-view, I think I was in the main event.
Yeah, but Chris, I mean...
You know, we're doing the thing. We're doing the thing again. You know what I'm saying?
I was close.
You're a real kidder.
Every main event. I was in all the main events.
Absolutely.
We're both main event talent, and we're both killers, and we're both going to show Matt and Nick a little bit of the same loving that we gave to Papa Buck. All right, you guys know that I travel every week for AEW, and I'm on the road for Fozzy as well. But I don't worry about appliances or any of the stuff at my house breaking down while I'm gone, because we've got American Home Shield. And truthfully, I'm not a fix-it-myself guy anyway. So even if I was home and we had a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater, I'm not the one who's going to fix it. And unexpected breakdowns like that won't break your bank with American Home Shield warranty, because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. You just choose a plan that works for you and your budget. And then when a covered item in your home breaks, contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage in your agreement. Right now, you can get 20% off. Just go to ahs.com/Jericho and save that 20%. That's ahs.com/Jericho for 20% off any plan. American Home Shield, don't worry, be warranty. See ahs.com/contracts. For coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty which may be provided by the home or building manufacturer. Let's go to the next item on our list, and this is a big one. The Wrestling Observer Awards Most Charismatic.
Yeah, man. A lot of people can talk as much shit as they want to, but that award's been around since 1980. And the list of people that have won it, I'm sitting across from one of them, Chris Jericho.
You won it last year?
Chris Jericho.
You're right.
There you go.
So we got the two back-to-back most charismatic in the Observer Awards. I mean, how could we not be a tag team?
There it is. We're the two most charismatic men in professional wrestling.
But continue. It's been around since 1981.
Yes. Shawn Michaels, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Eddie Guerrero. I mean,
Steve Austin.
The list is absolutely insane, but it's not insane that I'm in it. Because like I said, everybody's fully aware that I'm the guy for the next 25 years is going to be leading the charge in professional wrestling. And I'm proud of that. And I'm also proud of the fact that I'm being mentored right now by a guy who did it before me.
It's amazing. Like I said, those awards are very important, and it was great to see you in there. I, unfortunately, did not get any awards this year, but I was
in. You were nominated for almost all.
I was in every top 10.
I mean, come on.
You know, it was in every top 10. So this is the year that, of course, Tony won the Booker of the Year. So he's making a huge deal of it. I'm like, well, what about me? Like, I won five of them last year. I should have like a like an all-time award. You know?
You know what? I think we need a banner for you, Chris. I think we need one of those old-school banners.
Yes, exactly. That would be really good, and we could put it up in my dressing room here,
yeah,
which would be great. Let's move on to another one. Inside the Ropes, the best heel.
Yeah.
Which to people that don't know, is a bad guy.
Sure. I got a little offended by that because I don't view myself that way. But at the end of the day, the only way I could look at that is that people felt that I was one of the best at what I do in professional right. wrestling. But I'm still salt of the earth, man. I open doors for people constantly.
I've seen that too.
Yeah, and I give money to the poors all the time. I mean, I see poors on the street all the time, and I walk up to them. I'll give them, you know, $1, $2.
I like the word poors.
Well, that's what they are, Chris.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
You could also call bartenders pores if you want it, but a different way.
It's a completely different thing.
See what
yeah,
we did
it's
there?
Much more, honestly. Much job.
I appreciate that, though, that you're willing to say that you're the best heel.
Sure.
Because heel sometimes is like almost a derogatory term.
Yeah.
But heel doesn't necessarily mean like I think heel probably came from shit heel. Like you're a bad guy. I think heel just means smarter than the average baby face, which would be the other term that we use here in wrestling for Absolutely. Those that don't know.
Absolutely, Chris. And quite frankly, I see that on the internet a lot. MJF's the best heel in the business, .. So is Chris Jericho, ..
Well, once again, kindred spirits, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. This list still continues. Should I continue on with this list?
Hey, man, if you want to keep talking about me, I got no problem.
All right. Dynamite Diamond Ring Champ times two. We said that. But talk about the first time you won it and then the second time you won it.
First time I won it, I defeated pretty much... Well, I defeated a bunch of people. There's a bunch of people that are in that Battle Royal. It came down to me, Jungle Boy, and Hangman. Jungle Boy Jack Perry is very dumb. I don't know if you are aware of this. I believe he was Soccer Rocks. I believe he was actually raised by a pack of chimpanzees. I don't even know if he's literate, if I'm being completely honest.
Well, I know the story.
What's the deal?
He was originally born... here's something you might know. He's the son of Luke Perry, the actor.
Now, I was told he was raised by chimpanzees. Well,
I'm getting to it.
My apologies.
He wasn't raised by Luke Perry, but he's the son of Luke Perry.
Ah,
who was a very famous actor. Luke passed away a few years ago.
Yes.
Very famous actor.
Yeah.
Problem is... Luke didn't, he was working a lot at the time.
How are you going to take care of a kid?
What are you going to do? 90210, hey, yeah, Brandon, let's go to the Peach Pit. I got my kid.
Yeah.
Don't work that way. So he basically took Jungle Boy to the LA Zoo, right down there in La Brea.
Yeah, yeah.
And he left it outside the chimpanzee cage.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, it only makes sense because I can only imagine how ugly of a baby that was. It's not something you want to look at.
Well, and that's the whole Jungle Boy thing.
Yeah.
The guy can barely string together three words.
Yeah, it's
terrifying. People around here, they applaud him when he says a two-word promo that you and I would fart out.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? And so,
understatement.
Jungle Boy can talk. Come on, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he said good promo. Really? A good promo? Because he said, my name, Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
I don't like you.
I, Jungle Boy, I don't like you, Chris. You stink.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on,
like, hey, and he goes and pukes in the corner.
God. Every time.
Little weirdo. What a weirdo.
What a weird schmuck. What a weirdo.
You know, I never liked that guy.
Who does?
You know, well, chicks, apparently. People go nuts for him. Singing his... Who sings a wrestler's song? These idiot fans coming out there singing Jungle Boy.
Can I tell you something?
Who would sing Jungle Boy songs?
So dumb. So dumb.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Who would sing a wrestler's theme song out loud?
It makes me mad.
Makes me mad.
Oh. Put a shotgun in my mouth and pull the freaking trigger.
Horrible.
So they left him outside there. He was raised by chimpanzees. And basically, why didn't they just come take him back? And nobody wanted him.
Nobody wanted him.
Nobody showed up and said, hey, that's my... Jungle Boy.
And by then, I'm sure he smelled even worse than he did in the first place.
The hair's out of control.
Horrible.
You ever heard of a comb?
Clearly Jungle he has. The only thing he's probably heard of is a perm.
Well, we know that.
Clearly.
Your face. So you beat him. So you said he was stupid.
Yeah, he's very stupid. He wasn't paying attention. He was on the apron. I had rolled under the rope, and I just simply grabbed his ankle and pulled him off. And then me and Hangman were the final two, and then I obviously defeated Hangman because I'm a much better professional wrestler than him. Mm. Should have probably put his name on the list, but granted... I mean, I'm a much bigger star than him, so maybe I shouldn't. But anyway, and then the second year around, I had won. I believe the final two were me and Orange Cassidy, and it made me feel good that I was able to beat him. I almost felt like I was beating him on your behalf, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great night for me.
I appreciate that because that's one of the banes of my existence.
Yeah, he's just a bad person.
Well, here's the thing with him. Do you ever notice he smells like Dracar Noir? Do you know what Dracar Noir is?
Absolutely.
It's either that cologne from the 80s.
Yes.
He smells of Drakkar Noir, and that bothers me. Because first of all, where the fuck is he finding a bottle of Drakkar Noir in 2021? And second of all,
beats me.
I mean, come on, really?
Yeah.
There's so many other fragrances that he could wear.
Yeah, and also denim jacket in 2021.
Denim and denim.
Come on, man.
We call that a Canadian tuxedo, but I would never have anything to do with it. No. That guy's no Canadian.
He's got to grow up. He's not Canadian at all.
Yeah, well, he's got to grow up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Son of a bitch. So all of these things culminated by the fact, like you said, that you're 24 years old.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
That is a huge accomplishment right there. How many years in the business?
Boy, I believe 4.5, 5, maybe.
Has there ever been anybody else who's accomplished what you've done in 4 or 5 years? Well, I'll answer my own question, then you can answer. I said in an interview the other day that you reminded me of Kurt Angle. When he first started, he was a lot older, in his 30s, but he took to wrestling so fast. Not just as a wrestler, but as a character, as a performer, as a promo, as an antagonist, protagonist, whatever it may be. But it was within 2 or 3 months of stepping in the ring.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before, from my opinion. And I never saw you in your first 3, 4, 5 years. Yeah. But here you are, once again, main eventing pay-per-views after only being in the business for such a short period of time.
Yeah. It's something I'm really proud of, and something that nobody can take away from me. And I genuinely, I'll never forget the first time I stepped foot into a wrestling ring. I just felt like I was home. And it's been an easy, incredibly easy ride since then. I make so much money.
Ridiculous.
I
How much more money did you make when you joined the Inner Circle? Remember you showed that graph?
Yes, yes.
During the town hall or whatever.
How about we talk about how much more money Inner Circle's made since I joined the Inner Circle? Merch sales are through the roof.
Once again, not speaking out of school, you guys can call Pro Wrestling Tees and Ryan Barkin that moron. Biggest selling t-shirt in the world today. Didn't want to say it, but why be humble?
Just true.
You dropped it.
There it is. You dropped
number
the bomb.
One. And not just best selling shirts.
Yeah. And remember Dinner Debonair shirt? Remember that? That flew off the shelf. Like
you can't find them anymore.
No, they're gone. I'm pretty sure they're sold out.
They're gone.
Guys,
sold out.
You can look on Pro Wrestling Tees / whatever the hell .com and look for it. I'm pretty sure they don't even have them anymore.
You won't find it.
And if they do have it, congrats, you got the last one.
Yep. And if you look in the top 20, it's all like 1 through 8 is all in a circle or MJF or Jericho.
Yes.
I think number 9 is like Thunder Rosa. 10 through 15, yep. Also Inner Circle, Jericho, yes. Dinner Debonair,
I think at
MJF.
Some point, Cody's, what, 55, I think?
55, yeah.
55.
He's so not even in the top 50.
We pretty much take up 1 through 54. I think Cody's 55, John's 56. Of course, I'm speaking of Dictator John.
Right.
And I believe, very oddly, Tommy Dreamer, I think, was right after him.
Strange.
Very strange.
Because it's a new shirt talking about his new hairstyle. Have you seen his new hairstyle?
Oh, it's incredible.
That's amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. I've never seen somebody rock a better man bun in my life.
We did a great video for him that nobody saw because it was on Impact.
Sure.
Impact, I think, Impact, app match.
Yeah, yeah.
But we should really find that because we cut a promo for Tommy Dreamer that was probably one of the best promos of all time.
He was very respectful. I mean, we gave him the perfect birthday wish, I felt. I don't know about you, Chris.
You did have a great line, too. You had a little bit of a nudge. You said, can't wait to watch you die in the ring.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it didn't happen, but yes.
If you can't say that to a friend, then who can you say it to?
Absolutely.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's do a little bit of word association, talking about some of the characters and people here in AEW. Just to get some of your thoughts.
Let's do it.
There's a lot of new ones here.
Too many, if you ask me.
Time to cull the herd, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Matter of fact, me and you were talking about this. We were thinking about just comprising a list of people Tony should fire and just handing it to him. And obviously he would listen to us.
We said we would help him and we would fire them for him.
Maybe we should just do it ourselves. You know? That's a good point. Yeah,
does Tony know about this? Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, of course.
And then the guy doesn't show up for 2-3 weeks and then he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. Tony probably wouldn't even realize.
We're rid of him.
We're fine.
Okay, so I'll throw some names at you.
Yeah, please.
Darby Allin.
Fire
TNT
him.
Champion.
What? Sorry.
Darby Allin.
Got it. I'm going to say School Shooter because he looks like one. I'm just being honest. Everyone who's freaking out right now listening to this podcast, go Google School Shooters and tell me if they don't look exactly like Darby Allin. Next.
Once again, just kind of thinking about how you are, and I mentioned that you don't care and you'll say anything.
No, either. I don't give a shit.
Tell me the worst insult you ever gave to a fan. Was it a little kid? Was it a...
Well, it was this guy in a wheelchair, and he was acting all high and mighty, especially for somebody in a goddamn wheelchair, and he wheels up to me, and he says my catchphrase to me like he's some, you know, hot shit. He goes, "I'm better than you know it." I go, "Really? At least I can do this." And I stood up.
Oh.
And guess what? I was right and he was wrong.
Did you get reprimanded for that from anybody?
No, of course not.
I thought there was one you got a slap on the wrist.
Okay,
the
I only got a slap on the wrist one time. We were on the cruise and some five-year-old prick walked up to me and tried to talk to me. I'm a very busy man, Chris. Okay? So I called this slap dick to walk away from me and I told him he should have been aborted and I kept it moving.
He was 5 years old.
It is what it is, Chris. He shouldn't have tugged on Superman's cape. It's that simple.
You don't spit on Superman's cape.
There it is.
There you go. I remember you got a little bit mouthy up in the Haven at one point too, where I was.
Yes, yes. One of your family members made eye contact with me and I didn't like how they did.
I told them all. I said, do not make eye contact with Max. I said, don't touch me. Don't talk to him.
Yeah.
So, at least they didn't touch you or talk to me.
No, they didn't touch me or talk to me. They just looked at me.
Yeah. I that was my cousin Chad, actually. And I, I kicked him out of the family.
Well, I'm glad. So honestly, the guy was way out of it.
What do you call it when you emancipate yourself from somebody?
Emancipate. I disowned him. There you go.
And my dad said, "You can't disown him." And I said, "Yes, I can." And I almost disowned my dad.
Your father.
Almost, but not quite.
I'm glad you stood up for yourself.
Thanks, man. Sting.
So here's the deal. I can't just use one word because the man's had a terrific legacy.
Great legacy.
But the fact of the matter is this. Have you ever talked to this guy, Chris?
Well, not really, because he's hard to have a conversation with.
Yeah, of course he is. Hey, Sting, nice to meet you. I'm MJF.
Need protein. Mm. Protein I need. Mm.
You thought Jungle Boy was dumb.
This guy is dumb.
And it turns out, this guy, you know that stuff he puts all over his face? Mm-hmm. This guy is so dim-witted. Guys, he's not doing this intentionally, okay? This is what he thinks, like, looks good. This is him putting on makeup. He thinks he looks good like this. He's a loon. He's an absolute loon. Mm. It's horrifying. And for anyone who has to talk to him at any of these meet and greets or signings, wrestling fan, please say, "Sting, how you doing?" I swear to you, his response is going to be, "Need protein." Mm. Every time, 10 out of 10.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
I've heard him mumbling it as he walks up and down the hallways, actually.
The man paces. It's very odd.
Yeah. He paces and just mumbles.
Yeah. Might have been hit in the head one too many times.
Protein.
And also, sorry, he stole your bat.
Well, that's...
You invented having a bat in professional wrestling.
Listen, let me ask you a question.
Please do, Chris. I'm all ears.
If you're at a concert back when there was concerts, and there will be concerts again, and you're sitting on a great seat on the floor.
Yes.
And it's jam-packed, and you get up out of that seat and split.
Yeah.
Someone else sits down in that seat, right?
Yeah.
If it's general admission, you lose it.
Yeah.
You lose your privilege to sit in that seat.
100%.
You don't come back 15 years later and go, "Hey, that's my seat." It's like, dude, it was once your seat.
Yeah.
You split for 15 years.
Yeah.
It's my baseball bat now.
That's your baseball bat now. But also, what you're... Guys, let me just explain something. Chris is being way too humble right now.
I am.
There is a photo of Chris at 8 years old holding a baseball bat.
Yeah.
That was way before Sting holding a baseball
bat. That's the truth. It was when I was with the Kirkfield Westwood Blue Jays.
Boom.
And we were playing in the city finals.
Okay.
Against the Assiniboine Merchants.
Now, didn't you have a record for most home runs in Little League?
I did. I also had the record for most grand slams. Four.
Four?
For an eight-year-old kid, four grand slams.
That's a whole lot for an eight-year-old
really
kid.
It was
a whole lot for anybody.
It was really good. Wow. Yeah, it was good. I chose to go into wrestling instead.
Yes.
But I still have an open contract with the Kirkfield Westwood Blue Jays. I can go back anytime I want.
Makes sense to me.
Any freaking time I want.
Yep.
Let's continue on. Ricky Starks.
Oh, wow. I like the guy. He's got moxie. I don't know if Helen Keller's dressing him or what's going on. That guy is a mess. I mean, that guy is a mess. Chris, you see how I dress. I show up in the nicest custom-made suits. I mean, look at me. I'm godly. And then in walks this guy, and he's got these weird open-ended shoes on, and he's got these weird, like, tie-dye dress shirts and all these gold chains. It's just gaudy. The word I would use for Richard Starks is gaudy.
But isn't that kind of, he's from New Orleans and throwing beads and Mardi Gras?
Yeah,
that kind of
all
gaudy
the people there
thing?
Dress funny. I guess that's a good point, Chris.
Right.
It's most certainly not a place I'd ever want to visit.
Right. Nor would I.
Yeah.
Let's go through some other of these. Some of these other guys. Luchasaurus.
Oh boy, that guy. That guy is as green as his tongue mask. And his mask.
And his tongue.
Don't get me started.
Exactly.
That's all.
Leave
I got.
It at that.
That's all I got, man.
You'll just leave
that
it.
That guy blows.
Okay. Well, what about Marco Stunt?
Marco Stunt. The first word I obviously think of is short. Mm-hmm. The second word I think of is inbred, and the third word I think of is that's more of a phrase. Really, should have never happened.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think really bad hair.
You know, it's really sad when guys grow out their hair long and they think that it looks good.
Especially because they're wrestlers.
Oh, my God.
Wrestlers have to have long
and I'm
hair.
Sorry, I'm going to throw you under the bus here, Chris. I think because you have such luscious locks, everybody's trying to copy you, and nobody has the hair genetics for it. So, and it, obviously I know you didn't do it intentionally, but you've almost created a whole generation of guys who have long hair, and it literally... They look like Medusa. It's just brutal. It's right. Brutal. It really, really, really is such a huge eyesore. I mean, every time I see Griff Garrison walk by me, I puke in my mouth a little bit, Chris. Mm. I mean, seriously. I mean, I should have a Garrison bag with how many times that guy walks by me and I just puke in my mouth.
He punched you in the face when we worked last.
Well,
you gave him a chance and he punched you in the face.
Again, another classic case, just like you were so nice to Papa Buck and you allowed him on your cruise. I was so nice to Griff Garrison. I was the guy that gave him his big break. His first match on AEW Dynamite was against me, and I didn't have to introduce him. I didn't have to allow him to say his name into my
You got him promo time.
I got him over is what I did.
That's right.
And the guy has no respect.
Right. Last few guys. Let's talk about Inner Circle.
Yes.
Inner Circle guys.
Let's.
What do you think, Wardlow?
Wardlow, he is the... I genuinely feel this way. I think Wardlow is the best athlete in professional wrestling today. Mm. I think he's a blue chipper. I think he gives very good feet rubs, and I think he's very good at making sure that I am comfortable at all times. I pay the man an awful lot amount of money to do so. Do I consider him a friend? Yes. Is he doing the best job he possibly could do? No. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been a lot of times I've had to dock his pay. One time I recall... There was an issue with He Who Should Not Be Named and Wardlow, because Wardlow got involved in a match where He Who Shall Not Be Named was involved in. And I docked Wardlow's pay big time.
Mm, I remember that.
Yeah.
You said that too.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I don't feel bad about it. He messed up. But now looking back on it with everything that He Who Shall Not Be Named has done.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he had it coming.
Nah, maybe. Well, I know he had it coming.
Yeah.
The guy's dead to me.
Yeah.
Even saying... The name that shall not be named starts to piss me off.
Yeah. Because then it makes you think of his stupid face.
Stupid face. That stupid face with his black hair. How about those weird eyebrows? He looks like the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
The guy looks emaciated. He literally looks like somebody put a garden hose up his butt and just kept drawing blood.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, let's just call him Gammy Savara.
Yeah.
Gammy Savara.
Savara. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about, so when you first got into the Inner Circle, which was a great day, Santana Ortiz, Santana was okay with it.
Yeah.
Ortiz was not.
Not. So Santana and me, we hit it off right away. Me and Santana talk all the time. We're actually really tight. He taught me how to play dominoes. I actually really enjoy that game. Ortiz was a different story. It was a bit of a struggle. I had known Ortiz on the indies, and I think Ortiz had heard about my rap. I had a bad rap back then. Why? I don't know. I honestly, Chris, I am the most misjudged person in the history of probably ever. It's just that, I mean, if anybody can relate to you.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I finally got to sit down with him. I got to talk to him. My grandfather had passed around the same time that Santana's father had passed.
Right.
And we had a good chat. And I think that was the moment that Ortiz realized I'm not just some shyster. I'm a human being. Mm-hmm. I'm a human being who has feelings. I'm a human being who cares. And I'm a human being who cares about him because I care about the Inner Circle.
Yeah. Well, both those guys, I believe Ortiz had the line where he said, you're growing on them like a fungus.
Yes. Yes, sir.
You know? Yep. And then, of course, Jake Hager, Big Jake.
Big Hurt is by far deceptively one of the funniest people I've ever met.
He is.
People don't know that he's so funny. People have no idea how funny that guy is. And also such a great conversationalist. We've been having a lot of great conversation about championships recently.
Mm.
But yeah, man. And what an incredible MMA fighter, incredible wrestler, incredible person. Incredible husband, incredible father. Just the definition of what a man should be
in my
opinion. He's almost in the category of salt of the earth.
Yeah, almost.
Almost in that category.
Almost.
I'm not saying he is.
Yeah.
Almost, I know
almost,
you're not.
Almost.
Yeah.
So as we start to wind down here after the first year in AEW, is AEW what you expected, what you hoped for? Because they brought you in right out of kind of, like I said, some of these indie shows and working the gymnasiums and all that sort of stuff. And here you get brought in and you've been basically one of the top guys ever since.
I mean, I'll just say it. You know, I wasn't well known coming into this company. There were a lot of other guys in this promotion who were well known that came from the indies that had never been on a nationally televised show. And I'll never forget Tony Khan. I think he kind of knew what he had with MJF, but he didn't fully. And when he gave me that microphone and Bret Hart was talking in the middle of the ring and I went out there and the world got to get a taste of what I do best, I think
it was in Vegas, right?
Yes, sir.
It was great.
I think that was when everybody collectively went, who is this guy? My God. And ever since then, it's been a wild, incredible ride. I think I can easily say probably no one in the history of the business outside of like maybe one or two guys, probably just one guy, probably just Kurt Angle, has achieved as much as I have in such a short period of time, has been a top guy as quick as I have in such a short period of time. But again, I do attribute that to you, honestly, because you have been a mentor, you've been a friend, and I think that's why me and you are going to hold those AEW World Tag titles for a very, very long time.
Absolutely. And on top of that, I think the Inner Circle is just going to continue to grow and get stronger. I mean, like I said, we've had some ups and downs, as any great team does.
Sure.
You look at
the problem's gone, Chris.
Well, I mean, it's sad because I think the problem is more on Gammy Savara's part than it is yours. Because like I said, back in the day, Vince McMahon used to almost pit guys against each other. I know that because he did it with me and Triple H.
Yeah.
And what that would do is it would give you more incentive to go out there and have the best match ever with each other. You would push each other. I'm going to show this guy. Well, I'm going to show him. And I wanted that with you and Sammy. I could see what you were doing. And he was doing it too. And we saw him.
Way more than me.
You didn't see it. He did write stuff on your face in Vegas
what
and stuff.
You bring that up. I don't know what you're talking about.
You go back and watch the director's cut.
Okay, I'll give it a look.
And point being, he's the one who exploded. And once again, listen, you can take a shot to the stomach. I've been punched by worse guys than him.
Absolutely.
But he quit the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
And when you walk out on Chris Jericho and you walk out on MJF, you walk out of our lives forever. So the problem is gone if that's the way he wants to be. But there's a whole lot of work left for the Inner Circle to do. And it starts on Sunday with MJF and Jericho winning the AEW Tag Team Championships from the Bucks.
Absolutely. Look, man, when I joined the Inner Circle, this was the best faction in professional wrestling. We got a little rocky because of Gammy. But now that Gammy's out, I believe we're the best faction once more.
Absolutely.
And I am so excited to add gold to our group. But I'd also just like to say one thing real quick. It kind of was a big deal when he punched me in the stomach, Chris. I mean, that's how Harry Houdini died. And I'm honestly so grateful that I'm still able to sit here today and be able to be here with you today because, quite frankly, I really thought I was going to be a goner that day. Mm. And it was really scary. But I prevailed. I mean, I got my ribs taped. I went out there. I had a match with you.
I was right there.
The
Acclaimed.
A lot of people want to talk about the time that Triple H tore his quad and continued to wrestle. I don't think enough people are talking about the fact that MJF almost got Harry Houdini'd and continued to put on a 5-star tag team wrestling match with his best friend Chris Jericho.
Against a couple basically rookies. I mean, we carried that whole thing.
Oh, my God. On our backs.
Yeah. Any last words for the Bucks for this weekend as we go into Revolution?
I would like to note that malnourished Matthew and not so slick, he wishes his hair was way more thick, Nick, are going to be going down this week. We are going to be the AEW World Tag Team Champions. And just because we haven't been a tag team for 12, 15, 20 years, I think it's going to shine through that doesn't matter. And it's also going to shine through that you guys really don't belong in the ring with us. Chris, do you have any imparting notes?
Like I said, I think it's going to be one of the biggest matches in AEW history. I really believe that just because of the guys involved. Four of the top eight biggest stars in AEW in a match that no one's ever seen before. We don't need barbed wire explosions. We don't need street fights. We don't need ladders. We don't need Casino Royale rules. We're going to have a great wrestling match. But we're going to teach the Young Bucks a few lessons, and we're going to prove once again why we are two of the best, if not the two best, in the entire professional wrestling world. We've already done it as singles, and now we're going to do it as a tag team and continue to build the inner circle into even a bigger and more strong and more powerful faction. And when we're done, I'm just going to think about Matt, and I'm going to think about Nick, and I'm going to think,
what a loser!